Now listen very carefully. There is no one, no one, God says, that can deliver out of my hand. I love this. I work, God says, and who will reverse it?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day to you, and thanks so much for tuning in today. Pastor Bill continues his study from the Old Testament book of Joshua today with the conclusion to the message, Are You in Gilgal? Now, Pastor Bill.
So this is the third Passover now that the children of Israel celebrated. The first was in the land of Egypt right before they left. They came out by the blood of the land. The second one was in, I think, Numbers 22 or someplace in Numbers at Mount Sinai. And then the third one, of course, is right here. So now this Feast of Passover, they're looking back at what God has done, and now they're looking ahead at what God is going to do. Amen? Same thing that when we celebrate communion. Now, they had to go and kill the Passover lamb, because just like if you're going to enter something with the Lord, you're going to have to enter by the blood. You're going to have to enter by the blood of the lamb. Oh, how thankful I am for the blood tonight. You know, because, you know, all of our sin is taken away. Jesus, our substitute for our sin, it's gone. Thank God the Lamb of God has taken that away from us. We're completely forgiven. Sin and death, all of it, the devil, I'm so thankful. So all of us also, they had to eat the Passover lamb, but so we as well. Listen to what it says. And they ate the produce of the land. Now, they did this for the very first time. They ate the produce of the land on the day after Passover, okay? Unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Look at verse 12 now. Then the manna what? Ceased. A 40-year miracle comes to an end. The manna fell what? 6 days a week? On the sixth day, they had to gather up enough for the seventh day. Remember? 6 days a week for 40 years. God never missed a day. Never missed a day of provision. Think about that for a moment. Miracle day after miracle day. So the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land there in Canaan. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land that year. Manna is a picture of Christ, and we must eat the bread of life. Amen? And the Bible teaches us that we have to feed on the lamb. If we're not, we don't have any strength for the battle at all. And we need to have that strength. So, you know, we too, we've crossed over the Jordan, meaning we're born from above now. We don't want to look back to Egypt, do we? Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt and the things of Egypt, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, the melons, and the fish and all that nonsense. No, listen, Egypt is the world. And we're not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. So Gilgal is a place of wonderful restoration, a place of transition. So now they're in a new land. They have a new diet. The 40 years of wilderness living has finally come to an end. They, for the first time, tasted the fruit, the food of the land, which was a foretaste God was giving them of all that was waiting for them. So Israel eating the food of the land was a symbolic of them taking possession of the land just as God promised. Remember what it said in Deuteronomy 6:11? God says he made these promises. You're going to go into a land, houses that are going to be full of good things which you didn't fill, and wells which you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. And when you've eaten and are full, remember God goes and said, don't forget me. Don't forget who gave you this land. So Gilgal is a place of transition. Maybe you're there tonight. You know, you're in the land of blessing, but listen, did you know the land of blessing that we're in right now? We're just sojourners. We're passing through. This is also, like Canaan, a place of warfare, and how we need to remember that tonight. What I want you to see here is, or let me ask you this, was there ever a break in God's provision? No. The moment the manna ceased, there was new provision. Oh, I look at that and I say, Lord, you're so good. You know, God didn't stop giving the children of Israel manna even when they despised it. Remember in Numbers 11, 6, it says they were complaining, saying, there's nothing to eat but this manna before our very eyes. They despised it, this heaven's food or angel's food, if you will. And God didn't stop the manna when the unbelieving generation refused to enter into the promised land. He didn't stop the manna. God stopped the manna when there was abundant provision for them. And that's the way God operates. I pray you never forget that. See, if you're in Gilgal and you're saying, I don't have any provision, you should say, wait a minute. God has never ceased providing. Never ceased. Now, he may not provide the way you think, but he will always provide. I know that with all of my heart, that he will always provide. The Bible tells us in Philippians 19, it says, and my God, not my ability, not my sweat, not my intelligence and all that. It says, my God shall do something, shall supply all my need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's nothing greater than to know that that is a true word from God. And I'll tell you what, God's provision, they are absolutely limitless for us. Now look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld, not the city, but look what he beheld. A man stood opposite him and with his sword drawn in his hand. In other words, he was ready for combat. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Well, that's a great question. Was Joshua a brave man? He was a great man. He trusted the Lord. You know, I believe that right here in this instance that Joshua is seeing Jericho for the very first time. Only thing that Joshua knew about Jericho was what the spies who came back after spying out the land had told him. So there he is and he's looking, and just when he's wanting to get his eyes there and maybe say, okay, now I wonder how we're going to take this place. How is God going to pull this off and so forth? Remember Joshua, he was the only survivor of the first generation except for Caleb to enter into the promised land. And so here he draws close and all of a sudden it says that a man, do you see the capital M there? It says a man stood opposite him. I believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ. That we call that a theophany, the visible manifestation of God. And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you know how good it is. You know, here's what I've found in my life. That when we know we're going into battle and there in front of us is our Jericho or whatever we're facing, and we're all going to have Jerichos in our life. But if you're in Gilgal, you're in a great place. Because the Bible says that a man was there. Did you know that the Lord, when you're in battle, the Bible says he's a very present help in times of trouble. A very present help, meaning that he's there. See, the Lord was ahead of Joshua. The Lord was already looking at the land and looking at Jericho, and he knew it was fallen. He knew that Jericho couldn't stand at all because God knows everything. Now listen, leadership. You know, people talk a lot about leadership today and leadership in the church, but you know, leadership can be one of the most loneliest places for any pastor or anyone in leadership in the church. And the reason that is so lonely sometimes for a pastor is because, or as it was for Joshua, because, well, he had 2 million people camped back at Gilgal, amen? How would you like to be responsible for all those people, knowing that the decisions that you make not just affect Joshua, but affect all those people? The same thing in the church. People say, Bill, you're so slow sometimes to make a decision. Well, there's two reasons. Number one, I'm older now, which means I'm wiser. But, you know, why get in a hurry? If God's not saying, Bill, do this, why would I want to start moving? Amen? Amen. I enjoy my easy chair. So I just say, Lord, you know the facts. You know what I must do. And, you know, I know that you're capable of telling me. And then when the Lord speaks, then you can go out there. Now, here's the thing. Joshua realized that he wasn't alone, that the Lord was there with him. Amen. And I'll tell you, that is the greatest thing we can know. In other words, the promise that God gave to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5, where he was talking about that no man would be able to stand against you all the days of your life, and where he said, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So the promise of God now is actually being fulfilled right before Joshua's eyes. And there he is, the man of God, which is our Lord, I believe our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only three places in the Bible where that phrase there about the Lord, that his sword is drawn or in his hand, the angel of the Lord or the man and so forth. And that was with Balaam in Numbers 22. And then, of course, here, and then in 1 Chronicles 21, when David counted Israel and sinned, and the Lord showed up with a sword in his hand and so forth. Now, if you're in Gilgal, here's what you want to really remember, because we're all in Gilgal. We're all going through this land. We're all in the state of transition. Gilgal is a place, a great place, because it's a place of a revelation. Look what happens. So he said, let me go back. Joshua said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. He says, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And look what Joshua did. He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to what? His servant. The greatest thing a Christian, the greatest thing a pastor, the greatest thing a mother or father, the greatest thing any leader in God's church must remember this. They are always second in command. Always second. You know, people say, well, who's the pastor of Calvary Chapel? I say, well, I'm just, I hate for people sometimes. It's okay, but, you know, you're the senior pastor. Well, what does that mean? You're the old man? You're the top dog? You know, you're the big enchilada? What does that mean? No, the pastor of every church is the Lord, Amen. The good shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. Amen? He's the head of the body, not the guy who's in the pulpit here. He's following orders from headquarters. Lord, what do you want? It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. We've never asked God ever, Lord, follow our vision. No, we're always trying to keep up with the Lord here. You know, he does this, he does that. I mean, just this afternoon, I get an email because people are hearing how we're going into the I Am Terrell area. So I get an email from one of the second meanest and roughest places in Fort Worth. It's an apartment complex. And they said, we have an empty community center. Would you come and start teaching the Bible at our apartment complex? And I emailed it back and I said, long as I can carry my Glock, you know, because I know that area, you know, and I said, can I have an armed guard? I was going to take Paul with me there, you know. So, see, God's opening these doors. But isn't it interesting that he's not opening the doors in the Mira Vista? That's a nice area. I'm not cutting anybody. If you live there, I want to talk to you after the service. And they have a golf course, you know? No. But think about it. And I'm going, Lord, you're so good. Opening these doors. You know, and I'm thinking, what is he doing? Well, you know, if God is opening the door and we go through that door, who knows what God is going to do maybe all over the city. Maybe God is getting ready to do something. Maybe there's getting ready to be a revival finally. Maybe God is getting ready to move in his church finally, because I'm going to tell you, we need it from the pulpit all the way to the back row. And I say, oh, God, you're so good. It's a place of revelation. And the Lord, he comes. Listen, and let me tell you, if the Lord's not in command, you better be ready to fail. So the Lord comes what? Here he comes to help us, to lead us. Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. But what I want you to see is what this great leader did. He worshiped the Lord. He fell on his face, meaning he fell at his feet. Who did we just study that fell at the feet of Jesus? Mary. Remember? Mary fell and sat at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because she was listening. She was listening to what he had to say. That time of prayer where we're in worshiping the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just worshiping. I'm on my face before you, and I just want to listen to what you have to say. The Lord Jesus is Yahshua. He's the one that's going to take us over, isn't he? Oh, make sure we're following the Lord. And then it says in verse 15, and then the commander, the Lord's army, that unseen army of God, that are like in the days of Elijah, there's more for us that be against us. They're angels of God. We're everywhere. He said to Joshua, listen, take your sandal off your foot. Why? For the place where you stand is what? Holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua had no idea that when he left Gilgal that evening, maybe walking out, like I said, to just get a glimpse of Jericho, thinking about what might be done, what should be done, what could be done to take this fortified, high-walled city. He had no idea that he was going to meet the Lord Jesus. You understand, the pre-incarnate Christ, the theophany, if you will, whatever. Or some people say it was just an angel. Well, it's okay. It doesn't say, but I believe it just happens to be the Lord, okay? And I said, oh, he just didn't know it. You never know when you walk out where you're going. Do you understand? You never know. You never know when you're going to meet the Lord, when he says something to you, or go do this and go do that. That's why following the Lord is so exciting. And here's something that we need to remember. It is when we are at a Gilgal in our life. Not only is it a place of a revelation, but Gilgal, that place of temporary pain, the place of a new provision, the place of that great victory that we're going to have, is also a place where we learn to be at the feet of our Savior. That's what Gilgal does. It's a place that teaches us. What Gilgal did you face that put you at the feet of the Lord? Oh, how many times have we all done that, where we've been at the feet of the Lord? Maybe a sickness came into our life, or a loss of a loved one, or all the things, whatever it might be. And we just fall at the feet because we don't know what to do. And we just say, Lord, I'm just going to be at your feet. The Lord said to Joshua, take off your sandals. This place is holy. But the ground wasn't holy. Canaan was a land defiled by idols and filthy worship of idols. The reason the land was holy is because of the manifest presence of God. And that's why I say, whenever we have a manifest presence of God, when you know that he's here, whatever that happens, the few times that it has happened in this chapel, you couldn't think a dirty thought if you wanted to. You couldn't make a judgment against somebody if you wanted to. Why? Because you know God is here. And there's a presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord always makes the flesh be subdued. And when he shows up, you either want to hide under your chair, you want to cry, you want to worship. Everything changes. And that's what happened right here. And Joshua realized that the battle wasn't his, that the battle was the Lord's. Joshua said, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? That means that Joshua was ready to fight. You know, the Lord was on Israel's side. And it would do us all well to know tonight when we go home and tomorrow morning when we wake up that God is on our side. I mean, do you really believe that? You know, the blood of Jesus has taken care of all of our sin, has washed it as far away as the east is from the west. I'm so thankful for that. You know, you say, I'm crucifying my flesh. You can't crucify your flesh. It's already been crucified. You've been crucified with Christ. You know, why is it that we try to tackle our sin and things in our own strength, our shortcomings, and think we're going to do it? No, we need to let the power of another. We need to let the Holy Spirit rule in our lives. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Being filled with the Spirit and so forth. Never forget that God is on your side, especially if you are in Gilgal tonight. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, Paul says, oh, what are we going to say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, who can be against us? What enemy can overcome God? No matter what you're facing, no matter what circumstance you're facing in your life, young people that are back there, listen to me. The youth group that's in the service tonight, don't let the world, don't let the lost, don't let TV and all the other junk tell you how to live. No, you serve God. God is for you. You know, when you grow up in life, people say, you know, they judge you. You don't fit into this group. You don't fit into that group. Well, who cares? I fit into that group. You know, the group where the names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, where the names are written in heaven. Listen, it's time for the church to be a brave church. Not a bunch of sissies, you know? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Listen, Gilgal, that place of temporary pain, if you're in Gilgal, you ought to be thanking God because a new beginning is right there at the door, just right, maybe in a few days. Maybe you're waiting to be healed because it's a place of pain, temporary place of pain, and it's going to finally get better. Gilgal, that place of new provision. But what I love most is that Gilgal is a place to prepare for victory. That's where you are, at the feet of Jesus, preparing. Your victory is on the way, and you know why we know that? It says in Psalm 56:9, this I know, because God is for me, and may I say, he is always for you. Jesus, our Lord, is always for us. He is the same, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who made everything is for you. Isaiah 41:14, I will help you, saith the Lord. Aren't you glad we belong to Jesus? Aren't you glad that we're God's purchased possession tonight? Isaiah said this. God told Israel in Isaiah 41:3, listen to what he says. God says, I've called you by your name. You are mine. Isn't it good to know that you belong to God? God says, you are mine. Jesus said the same thing in John 10:3. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. By name, and leads them out. 2 Timothy 2:19 says that the Lord knows who are his. You're secure in Christ. If you're in Christ, the whole world is crumbling. Let it crumble. Let it fall. But if you're in Christ, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. You know why? Because he's not going to lose you. It's so good to know that Jesus is not going to lose me. You know, in my early Christian days, I thought he lost me every week. You know, no, I did. You know, I got in trouble and I was growing. And I'm going, oh, I was so, I mean, I was just tormented constantly because, you know, if I even had a bad thought, I would, oh, God, what's wrong with me? I thought I was born again. I didn't know how to do warfare. Do you understand? But then as I got older in the Lord, I started learning those things. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 43:13. God says, indeed, before the day was, I am he, meaning God has always been. Now listen very carefully. There is no one, God says, that can deliver out of my hand. I love this. I work, God says, and who will reverse it? Well, no one. Amen? Listen, when God does something, who's going to reverse it? No one can reverse what God does. Oh, Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The security we have. Are you in Gilgal tonight? I pray that you realize that you're in a place, your new beginning is so close. The temporary pain is so close, it's about to leave. The new provision is right there. You don't have to eat the old junk anymore. And you better prepare for the victory that is coming your way. We're getting ready to cross over into a new area. I beseech you, please join with me, join with LNFI. And let's cover this and bathe this in prayer. Because you know what? We're going into an area of warfare. And I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the devil. He doesn't want us to go in that land. He'll do anything to stop us from going. He just wants us to stay right here, have our worship session, and read our Bibles, and have good air conditioned, comfortable seats, and go home. He doesn't want us to take who we are with who we have anyplace else. Listen, we need to just rise up and we need to be fearless. Are you in Gilgal tonight? If you are, you better prepare for victory. Warfare, yes, but victory.
Thank you so much for listening with us today. We'll continue Pastor's study when we return tomorrow, and we trust you'll join us again. Have a great day, everyone, and so long for now.
It's Michelle Pilar, and I want to invite you ladies to the Clothesline Women's Conference. It's May 9th. It's from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Calvary Fort Worth. It's called the Clothesline Conference. It's $25, and we are going to give the Lord an opportunity to get us unstuck. He's fully able. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen it over and over. So please come and bring your friends. We have a lot of fun at the Clothesline, a lot of laughs. Music, food. Oh my gosh. Can't wait to see you May 9th, and we'll have a great time. God bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.